Well, hello everybody. This is Pastor Bert Cloud with your Sunday forecast. Hey, I hope you're doing well and that you're enjoying looking at grass and dirt rather than frozen snow. It's so nice to kind of see those signs, although I've heard that it might snow again here in the next little bit. So we will see. Don't trust me on the weather forecast. This is not that kind of forecast. This is a forecast for what we can expect in our sanctuary on Sunday. And I'm excited because we are continuing our Lenten series, walking through and looking at the signs that point to the abundant life that God has for us. On Sunday, we remembered the name, the word Zoe, and Greek word, Greek name, and the idea that life, abundant life, is for us to see. And these miracles that we are encountering in the book of John kind of point to that and help us sort of understand exactly the nature of that life and, you know, where we're heading with that. So this week, we will be talking about a healing experience, a miracle of healing that occurs at a pool in the, not like, like backyard pool or anything like that, but at a body of water in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. And this is a moment where Jesus takes initiative. Jesus, takes the initiative with a man who's been very sick for a very long time, 38 years. And he calls him to stand up, take his mat, and walk into a new life. So let me read this for you. We're going to read it from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, great translation of the Bible from John chapter 5, 1 through 15. And as we kind of set this up, there's a little bit that happens before this in the scriptures itself, but then I'm going to pick up right at the first of verse 1. Here we go. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos, kind of entrances. All right, so that's all context. In these lay many ill, blind, lame, and paralyzed people. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been there for a long time. And he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Now the ill man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." So Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." And at once the man was made well, and he stood up. He took his mat and he began to walk. Now, all this, stirring up the water and that sort of thing, if you're kind of in the dark about that, that's okay. I'll explain it. We'll talk about that on Sunday. But the point is that Jesus said, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk and go." And the man did it. Now, okay, continuing on. Now, that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Oh, who is this man who said to you, 'Take it up and walk'?" Now, the man who had been healed did not know it was Jesus, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you've been made well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse happens to you." And the man went away and he told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. All right. So we have a lot to think about and a lot to kind of deal with on Sunday. And it will be really, really good as we kind of talk about how Jesus came first. Jesus comes up, even now, comes up to us and asks if we want to be made well. And then calls us to pick up our mats, you know, those things that support us in our brokenness, but also things maybe that hold us down a little bit too, you know, pick those things up, that maybe like old patterns or excuses or hang-ups or sins or fears, to pick those things up and walk, you know, to clean that up and walk in a new way of living with him. So it's going to be great to talk about this on Sunday. Now, we're also going to, you know, make our way closer as we do during the season of Lent, closer to Easter and the joy that is Easter. Now, there's still more of the story and more miracles and more of a journey to go on. So we still are taking steps towards Easter, but we, you know, we'll get closer. And I hope that as we do that, that you'll find a way to kind of stay connected with us every step of the way, certainly by encouraging in our in-person or our online worship experiences. Those go live each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and available on demand later, of course. And, you know, we also have a great companion study happening on Monday nights. That study and, you know, you might want to also pick up a copy of the book that is our companion for this series. It's called Seven Miracles, Signs of Life in the Gospel of John. And you can find those wherever you buy books. There's electronic version, there's print versions and that sort of thing. And I really would encourage you to do that. Now, you don't have to do it in order to participate in worship or to kind of, you know, fully know what's going on. We'll kind of guide you through it, but it's a great resource. It's just a really wonderful piece of work. Now, I'm biased. I'll just own that right now. My wife was one of the writers, and friends of mine are part of the writing group that put that together. But they have the receipts. They, you know, they did the homework and really kind of give us a way to think and look at these miracle stories that are amazing in and of themselves, but also what they say about who God is and who we are in that relationship. The other thing I want you to know about that particular book is that all the proceeds, the profits from the book sales go not to the writers, but to a really great group called Helping Children Worldwide. Now, this is a Christian nonprofit that strengthens and empowers families and communities, particularly in Sierra Leone, Africa. They work to helping children worldwide help vulnerable children to thrive through education and healthcare, economic development, family-based care. Their focus is on helping families and particularly in doing so, addressing child poverty and mortality. Also to partner with locally led programs in global health and child reintegration so that families stay together, strengthening those families rather than, you know, having them wind up in orphanages or just doing kind of like, you know, one of relief projects. This is a great group. And all the proceeds of the book go to support the work that they do. So it's a great book that you will have, but also a great way to make a difference too. So in fact, if you want to learn more about Helping Children Worldwide, you can find that at helpingchildrenworldwide.org. This is a group that is very close to my heart and my family's heart. We support them, and I think it would be great if you did too. So also this week, I want you to be sure to check out the photography exhibit that we have at the church. It's an exhibit by our very own Al Eddy. Al has traveled the world and also with a camera and has taken some amazing pictures. So he has a kind of a small offering of the big catalog that he has. He has a small offering of some beautiful images of nature and life. Makes me think a lot about spring. And I'm looking forward to spring. This is what Easter, the return to life, right? And so I really encourage you to kind of spend some time with that. If you see Al at the church, you know, ask him about things. And I'm sure he would love to kind of talk to you about his work. So you can find that exhibit in our main hall off of the gathering area. Well, listen, friends, that's all the time that we have for this week. And I really hope that you'll join us on Sunday. Maybe invite someone who needs to hear that Christ is still speaking words of healing even today. So God bless you. Take care. And I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.